Good afternoon and welcome to the November 2017 InfoTech Threat Landscape Briefing. My name is TJ Minichiello and I am a Senior Director in our Security and Threat Intelligence Practice. I will be facilitating today's briefing. During today's discussion, we will cover topics related to cybersecurity, threat actor campaigns, regulatory compliance and legal issues, and threat actor exploits and tactics. Our cybersecurity section covers high-level topics such as threat trends, data breaches, control strategies, and exposure to vulnerabilities that act to broaden your understanding of the cybersecurity impacts to your business. Our threat actor campaign section covers topics related to nation states, cyber criminals, and hacktivists orchestrating campaigns designed to compromise networks and exfiltrate sensitive data. Our regulatory compliance and legal section covers trends in our global regulatory and legal landscape with the potential to impact compliance adherences or disrupt business operations. And lastly, our exploitation and tactics section provides information related to the tools, tactics, and exploits threat actors are leveraging in their attack campaigns. Today's briefing will also be supported by Associate Director Jessica Ireland, Research Manager Celine Gravelins, and Consulting Analyst Ian Mulholland and Azam Jivraj. During today's briefing, we'll cover topics related to October Cybersecurity Awareness Month, the Yahoo data breach, the Knock Knock campaign targeting Office 365 corporate email accounts, a review of the best and worst security functions to outsource, and an overview of the WPA2, Google, and Microsoft vulnerabilities. I would now like to pass the presentation over to Ian, who will be covering our first topic.
The internet has become an integral part of everyone's daily life, and with people out there able to manipulate it to commit crime, it is important for the average user to understand the dangers that the internet poses and how to protect themselves from becoming a cyber victim. The month of October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Every year, this time is used to raise awareness of cybersecurity best practices. Both the United States government and the Canadian government have set themes for each week of the month. During each week, efforts to spread cybersecurity awareness should be focused on the depicted theme. This way, everybody is learning similar material at the same time, and that all of the most important topics are considered and covered. Canada and the United States share the same theme for week one, which is called Simple Steps to Online Safety. This week, topics were focused on presenting the top security concerns facing the average user, how to protect oneself against these threats, and what to do if one should fall victim to a cyber attack. Canada and the US also shared the same theme for week two, which is called Cybersecurity in the Workplace is Everyone's Business. This week, the topic was focused more on employees and the cybersecurity culture within the workplace. Information was geared towards helping employees understand how to protect the workplace from common cyber threats. While given different titles, Canada and the United States shared the same theme for week three. This theme focused on privacy protection and the Internet of Things, specifically on pointing out the concerns that arise when personal information is used to control technology that is connected to the Internet. On week four, the topics diverged. Canada focused on helping people understand what it means to be a good digital citizen, while the United States focused on getting the message out that there is a growing shortage of security professionals and that key student influencers, like teachers, should be helping students realize the potential career opportunities in the security space. Unlike Canada, the United States took advantage of the two remaining days of October to assign a fifth theme that focused on raising awareness of the importance of protecting critical infrastructure like power stations and traffic lights from cyber criminals. Many security awareness and training vendors have taken it upon themselves to offer free material for anybody to use, These materials can be used to educate employees, friends, and family in the best practices for staying safe while using the internet. I want to highlight a few of these available resources. The company PhishMe, which focuses mostly on providing a variety of phishing-related services, has created 17 interactive security awareness and training modules that cover common security topics and 4 modules focused on compliance obligations, including GDPR, payment data compliance, personal data compliance, and healthcare compliance. These modules come in SCORM-compliant modules or as interactive PDF files so that you are able to use them in any way you like. They are about 5 minutes long and come with optional quiz questions. Security Awareness Co. offers 3 training modules which cover the CIA Triad, PII, and phishing. These modules are free and downloaded as zip files and are loaded into local browsers. This company also offers other supportive material for security awareness and training, including posters, games, and videos. And finally, Infotech has also prepared 8 short PowerPoint decks on common security topics. These decks are packed with information regarding best practices for topics such as phishing, password security, and web usage. Additionally, we provide over 3 dozen sample knowledge questions for you to use in your testing efforts. If you are looking to begin the development of a security awareness and training program, or just to improve an existing one, our research on this area of security includes 3 Excel tools that aim to identify the risks and vulnerabilities of all user groups within an organization, define the current and future maturity states of the program, and assign priority values to both the user groups to be trained and to the topics that they will be trained upon, so that your time can be spent where the most value can be achieved. Take advantage of these materials and help spread security awareness. The more people who are reminded of the importance of being safe online, the better.
It turns out Yahoo's 2013 breach was actually worse than originally stated. At the time, it was reported that about 1 billion users were attacked. However, it's actually closer to 3 billion users, also known as all Yahoo accounts, say Krebs on Security and the New York Times. This announcement was made in early October by Verizon Communications, which acquired Yahoo earlier this year. A reminder of what was taken, names, birth dates, phone numbers, and passwords that were actually encrypted, but encrypted with security that was fairly weak for an organization as big as Yahoo to be tied to. To add insult to injury, attackers also got a hold of security questions and individuals' backup email addresses used in the resetting of passwords. So multi-factor authentication and verification was also compromised. Going back to the acquisition by Verizon, the disclosure of these breaches almost put a kibosh on the $4.48 billion deal in June 2017. Quoted in the New York Times, "Frankly, I don't know how Yahoo got away with this," said Jay Kaplan, a former Defense Department cybersecurity expert and senior analyst at the National Security Agency, who is now the chief executive of the cybersecurity company Cynac. Naturally, Yahoo has been subject to multiple stakeholder lawsuits and continued financial liabilities. The data itself has allegedly been for sale quietly through the dark web. InfoArmor, a cybersecurity company in Arizona that monitors the dark web, noted that at least 3 buyers paid about $300,000 for each complete copy of Yahoo's stolen database. So what has Verizon / Yahoo done? When the 1 billion affected accounts were announced in 2016, Yahoo directly notified individually impacted users, required password changes, and invalidated unencrypted security questions and answers so those tools couldn't be used to access an account. With this new information, Yahoo posted a fact sheet for users, linked here, and Verizon communicated that it is working closely with law enforcement to remedy the situation. So what can users do in this situation? Monitor your accounts. And accounts with the same password could fall victim if they've had the same password as your Yahoo account. So change those passwords and be diligent. Now on to threat actor campaigns.
The Knock Knock Botnet campaign started in May 2017 and has sped rapidly over the course of the summer, targeting Office 365 Exchange Online email accounts across manufacturing, financial services, healthcare, U.S. public sector, and other industries. There were a few things done by these attackers that made this campaign particularly successful and unique. One key was that it was able to fly under the radar by targeting automated corporate email accounts, ones that weren't tied to a human identity, since these ones often lacked advanced security policies, such as not requiring multi-factor authentication or not requiring recurring password resets. This attack targeted these weakly protected admin accounts that were often used to integrate corporate email systems with marketing and sales automation, so these accounts had higher access and privileges compared to the average accounts. In addition, other users don't expect to receive malicious content from these addresses, so people are less suspicious and more likely to blindly click a link from an internal generic email address. Another key to the success of this campaign was the way in which it was deployed and propagated. The botnet itself was quite small. According to SkyHigh Networks, who detected it, it was distributed just by 83 IP addresses across 63 networks. And interestingly, rather than a typical botnet targeting a high volume and working quickly, Knock Knock focused on precision, attacking an average of only 5 email addresses for each customer targeted, again allowing it to stay under the radar and avoid detection early on. It also used a slow approach by guessing only a few credentials at a time and spreading the attack over several days, since a quick brute force attempt would likely easily be recognized by decent security controls. In order to get access, rather than brute forcing the passwords, the attackers took advantage of previously leaked passwords. So for example, if Sally Jones had her LinkedIn account compromised before, the attackers would take that known password and try it with her corporate account. But since they don't know that corporate email exactly, they simply attempted different variations of common usernames based on that name. So they'd try a known password with usernames such as S. Jones, Sally.Jones, or Jones.S, for example. Once access to the corporate system account was gained, Knock Knock would then exfiltrate any data in the inbox that it deemed valuable. And keep in mind, these are admin accounts, so these were often treasure troves of sensitive, valuable information. From there, they would then create new rules within the inbox to hide and divert incoming messages, then use phishing attacks to further spread the infection around the enterprise. So more emails would come from the compromised email address in an attempt to compromise more inboxes within the organization. So overall, some key features that made Knock Knock so successful were the slow-moving, methodical, and stealthy natures of the attack, coupled with the type of admin accounts targeted and the use of previously compromised accounts, which allowed it to propagate so successfully before it was detected. At the time of writing this, the threat actor hasn't been identified yet. Investigators note that the IP addresses of the hacked devices used to run it don't appear on any known list of bad threat actors or botnets. They also note that about 90% of login attempts come from China. However, attackers could easily change or reroute IP addresses in order to cover their tracks, so it's impossible to say for certain if the attacks did originate from China. As with most breaches, it at least lends itself to be a good learning opportunity. This botnet displayed how attackers are getting more intelligent to outsmart current security controls, so here we have a list of recommendations. First, make sure that you're employing strong password policies for all accounts, even if not tied to a human identity. Use multi-factor authentication and require password resets. Use complex characters in those passwords as well, even if it is just a standard generic automated account. From there, make sure you're not storing sensitive and valuable information in your inbox. Practice strong email storage hygiene. All data should be classified and stored appropriately. From there, implement awareness and training for your organization, focusing on phishing. This will allow you to recognize phishing even if it is coming from an internal generic email address. There's still no excuse to be clicking on those links or downloads. Next, don't reuse passwords from other accounts, especially if the account has been breached. That's exactly how this campaign was so successful. They were able to reverse engineer from known passwords. And lastly, be sure to investigate failed login attempts. The Knock Knock campaign didn't employ a standard brute force attempt, but rather they spread it over a number of days. Look for these patterns so you can prevent similar incidents in the future.
The need and importance of IT security is growing, but most organizations lack the time and resources needed to create a mature security program internally. Additionally, the shortage of security professionals make it harder to find the right skills you need, and if you do, it is very expensive to hire, train, and retain them. Therefore, most organizations are forced towards looking at outsourcing as a solution to increase their security posture. Outsourcing can provide organizations numerous benefits, including improving resource allocation, providing cost savings, increased coverage and monitoring, and finally, providing external support when needed. However, these benefits are only realized when outsourcing is done right for your organization. Therefore, one of the main questions to ask is what functions can be outsourced and which ones should stay in-house. There are six functions you should look to outsource. Number one, network monitoring. Network monitoring is a high-volume operation that can easily be outsourced to a third party to free up your internal resources. Additionally, MSSPs have the ability to provide you 24/7/365 coverage that would not be feasible in-house. Finally, with increase in cyber activity, MSSPs can analyze events and identify false positives for you, further decreasing the internal resources you need dedicated to network monitoring. Number two, application security. The move to agile methodology and the need for faster development has resulted in the need for quicker application scanning and testing. Additionally, as development teams grow faster and outpace the size of security teams, organizations can look to external companies to scale their application security. Number three, vulnerability management. MSSPs are able to help organizations not only scan their environments for vulnerabilities, but also resolve the high priority ones in a timely manner. Number four, forensics. Forensics is a low-volume specialized responsibility that requires highly skilled labor, which is expensive and hard to find. Therefore, forensics is a good function to outsource, but keep in mind, you will still need someone with expertise to liaison with the third party. Number five, identity governance. Identity and access management is an important function that is often placed too low on the list of security initiatives. Identity governance can be a demanding job, and therefore, outsourcing identity governance will make this process a lot easier for you. And finally, number six, litigation. Assistance from a third party can help with any potential litigation and even ensure the security of your vendor contracts. Contracts are more than an IT risk. Therefore, it is important to interact with legal teams in order to protect your organization. There are two functions you shouldn't outsource. Number one, incident response and breach remediation. When it comes to remediation, technical knowledge is not as important as environmental knowledge. A third party won't have the same in-depth knowledge of your network that your engineers do. Therefore, it is preferable to remediate incidences in-house, as using a third party will result in a longer remediation process as they try to learn your environment. Additionally, keeping it in-house allows you to grow the expertise of your engineers rather than relying on a third party. And number two, security strategy, architecture, and policy. Any decision that affects your business risk should be kept in-house. You can use a third-party consultant to assist your decision-making, but the ultimate decision on security strategy, architecture, and policy needs to remain in-house as you're accountable for the decision. Overall, it is important to remember that while you can outsource your functions and responsibilities, you can't outsource your accountability. Therefore, it is important to trust but verify your MSSP and align them to your organization. There are two main ways to align your MSSP to your organization. One, through a comprehensive contract, and two, an internal metrics program. The majority of unforeseen costs come from items not included in the contract, and you can only hold MSSPs to the standards set out in the initial contract. Therefore, it is important to ensure the contract is as extensive as possible, and you can leverage other departments within your organization to do so. Additionally, it is important to create a metrics program not only to monitor and measure your MSSP on, but also to incentivize your MSSP in providing the quality of service you require. Therefore, including metrics and detailed SLAs in your contract to get the service level you want. Finally, don't outsource and forget. The accountability still falls on you. Therefore, it is important to continuously manage your MSSP.
Researchers at a university in Belgium discovered at least 10 vulnerabilities in the Wi-Fi Protected Access 2 protocol, which is commonly used to securely access the internet through wireless devices. An attacker could take advantage of vulnerabilities in both client and access point implementations, which could allow for the decryption of data, causing an opportunity to inject malware. The vulnerabilities can be used by a threat actor to steal credit card numbers, user account information, passwords, and other very sensitive information. In addition, and depending on the network configuration, it is also possible for the threat actor to launch a ransomware or other malware campaign. The WPA2 protocol is susceptible to the vulnerabilities outlined in the CVEs as displayed on this slide. Organizations are encouraged to review the guidance provided, determine the organizational impact, and update any of their affected infrastructure. Infineon's trusted platform modules are used in computers and other devices to generate RSA key pairs to establish secure virtual private network connections used in full disk encryption, securely accessing cloud services, and many other applications. Recently, it was reported that it is possible to mathematically crack the encryption via a bug that would allow an attacker to calculate a private key just by having the public key. The bug has been around as early as 2012 and found on corporate-grade HP and Lenovo computers, as well as Google Chromebooks, routers, and Internet of Things devices. This concludes our monthly threat briefing. Included in today's presentation were several hyperlinks to our research blueprints that you can use to address some of the threats presented during today's briefing. If you have any questions or need any additional support, please do not hesitate to contact us to set up an analyst call. Thank you.